A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath, while Jesus was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" The Gospel of the Lord. As a former high school debater, debate coach and judge, I can't give Jesus high scores on his argumentation in today's Gospel reading. In the first place, he doesn't answer the question given him. It's a straightforward inquiry. It's not a trick question like, "Should we pay taxes to Caesar?" "Why are you doing what is prohibited on the Sabbath?" the Pharisees ask. He could have answered, as he did on another occasion, "You take your animals to water on the Sabbath. Can't my followers satisfy their hunger?" He could have pointed out that taking a few handfuls of grain while you're passing through a field is not the same thing as going out to reap a harvest on the Sabbath. Instead, Jesus changes the subject and begins to talk about something David did that has nothing to do with Sabbath observance. David took showbread taken from the altar and given to him by the high priest, who evidently saw nothing wrong with what he did. Abiathar's only concern was that those who ate the bread had abstained from relations with women, as a priest was to do before offering sacrifice. I think the reason for his willingness to accede to David's request for bread when no other bread was available was that the showbread was designated for the priest's use in the same way that parts of sacrificed animals were. It was originally to provide food for the priests. There is no direct prohibition in Exodus of laity partaking of the showbread. So this argument, far-fetched as it is not strong, because the two cases of picking grain on the Sabbath and laymen eating showbread are not really parallel. Then look at the conclusion Jesus draws from his scriptural argument. It isn't that his disciples' actions are justified. It is that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. There is nothing at all in the previous argument to lead to that conclusion, using our common way of thinking. My conclusion is that Luke is using this typically Jewish debate between Jesus and some Pharisees to make the point that Jesus is superior to the law of Moses, which, of course, is what Christians believe. Now, in a way, that point is demonstrated more clearly by the life of today's saint, Gregory the Great. He was born to an ancient Roman patrician family in a time when the Western Roman Empire was coming apart, invaded by Goths and then Lombards, Rome turned to the emperor in Constantinople for help. Gregory was taken from his monastery, ordained a deacon, and sent as Rome's emissary to the emperor to seek military assistance against the invading tribes. After 6 years of trying, he came to the conclusion that the East had little interest in saving the West from the attacking tribes. When he himself was elected the next pope, he took matters into his own hands over the objections of the emperor and his local representative. He arranged a truce with the Lombards and his own authority by paying huge sums from the income of the papal estates. One reason Gregory wanted peace was so that he could give his attention more fully to reforming the church. Invasion by pagan tribes, simony, and years of neglect by the center of the empire in Constantinople had left the Western Church devastated. Gregory was not hesitant to advance reform of the monasteries and dioceses. He deposed bishops and abbots who did not live up to the demands of their offices. He prevented the elevation of bishops on the basis of family ties or monetary payments. He corrected errors in the teaching of dioceses directly subject to him, and he also voiced his objection to errors in the Eastern churches. While respecting the rights of the Eastern churches, he insisted on the supremacy of the Roman Church as the seat of Peter, the one appointed by Christ to head the whole church. Gregory believed that as successor to Peter, he had the responsibility and authority to promote the truth of the gospel as he understood it throughout the Christian world and beyond it. He began the evangelization of what we today call England, and promoted the Christianization of the many pagan and semi-pagan tribes pushing into the Western Empire. I think that present-day Roman Catholicism is more marked by his influence than by that of any single individual other than Jesus and Paul. I said that Jesus' claim to superiority over the law of Moses is in some way clarified by the life of St. Gregory. To show what I mean, I have adopted the parallelism typical of Jesus' own reasoning and that of other Jewish teachers of his day. Jesus said that he was superior to the law of Moses. Gregory clearly believed that he possessed an authority which transcended the laws of the Roman Empire, to which he remained loyal, an authority to correct the errors of the universal church, and to speak the mind of the church to secular powers. It is that belief that the Roman Catholic Church continues to this day, and for which we owe a great debt of gratitude to Gregory, monk, deacon, and a pope we call